Κόσμος 93,6.
Λοιπόν, είναι ο Mike Scott, αυτοί είναι οι Waterboys. Εδώ είμαστε και εμείς στον κόσμο σε 93,6. Χρήστος Βουγιουκλάκης στον ήχο, Πέτρος Αδάμ στο μικρόφωνο και στην επιλογή της μουσικής. Michael Scott, μια εμβληματική φιγούρα της βρετανικής μουσικής, γεννημένος το 58 στο Έντιμπρο. Mike Scott είναι μια από τις πιο επιδραστικές προσωπικότητες του βρετανικού ροκ που συνδυάζει τη λογοτεχνία, το μυστικισμό και τη folk μουσική. Είχαμε τη χαρά να μιλήσουμε με τον Mike Scott πριν από μερικές μέρες. Ο ίδιος βρισκόταν σε περιοδεία. Λίγο πριν δώσει το μεγάλο live στην Ελλάδα, στο Sunny Festival, την 1η Αυγούστου, όπου είναι σχεδόν sold out. Όλοι εσείς που θέλετε να πάτε, ακόμα υπάρχουν κάποια εισιτήρια για το live των Waterhouse στις 1η, την 1η του μήνα, των Waterboys. Μιλήσαμε λοιπόν με τον Mike Scott και αποφάσισα να μην το κάνουμε voice over, έτσι κι αλλιώς η σύνδεση τηλεφωνική είναι μια χαρά. Πάμε λοιπόν να τον ακούσουμε να μας μιλάει ο Mike Scott και οι Waterboys για την Αθήνα, για το Ηρώδιο, για την αρχή της καριέρας του, τα πρώτα live που είδε και για μια κιθάρα που έπαιζαν την ίδια οι Stones το 1969.
Well, it's not the first time that you are visiting Greece for live, so how do you feel when you sing your songs in the Greek audience? Because I know that the Irish and the Greek people share a historic, profound affinity. Culturally, both nations are a deep love for storytelling and strong family values.
Well, I always love to play in Greece. I love the Greek audience. I love the wildness of the Greek audience and of the Greek countryside. And the sense of mythology and old consciousness that is still there.
And it's not the first time that you are visiting Greece, came here in Greece, not only for live sets in the past, I know.
I came on a holiday, my honeymoon, in 1990.
Wow, brilliant. As a matter of fact, when we are talking about Greece, tell us about your latest experience when you sang in Erodium, one of the most iconic and historic monuments in the world.
Yes. Oh, that was fantastic. We absolutely loved playing there. We had a really great Greek clarinet player came and played the Return of Pan with us.
Do you remember, you were born and raised in Edinburgh, but you live in Dublin. Do you remember how did you get into music in the first place?
Just listening to records and hearing music on the radio. I was a child when the Beatles were first famous. And so I heard every new Beatles record, and that woke me musically.
Which was the first live that you've been there and you saw an artist maybe influence or affect you to your music?
Well, the first live concert I saw was Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Wow.
That did not influence me. But the third concert I saw was the Rolling Stones, and that was much better.
when you're talking about Rolling Stones, I was in the Rhodium and I saw you play with the unique glass guitar, a see-through guitar. I remember you using the Rhodium in My Time on Earth, and you put a new character in the ballad song, I remember. I heard once, and I don't know if it is true, that Keith Richards has won on his 1969 tour. Where did you find, I never saw a guitar like this.
It's made by, they were made by a man called Dan Armstrong between 1969 and 1971. And Keith Richards was given the first one, and Bill Wyman had the bass version, and they played them on the Rolling Stones 1969 tour, as you correctly say. And when I first went to, when I went to a local guitar shop in Scotland to buy my first guitar, there was one of them on the wall, and it was too much money for me to pay because I was only 12 or 13 years old at the time. But I never forgot that guitar, and many years later, I actually bought two of them.
Hmm.
They're great, great guitars. They don't just look great, they play and sound great.
So I think that you will borrow this guitar here in Sunny Festival of August?
I think it's very likely.
I love you. Αυτός είναι ο Mike Scott και οι Waterboys. Τον ρώτησα λοιπόν, το Mike Scott δεν είναι πρώτη φορά που έρχεται στην Ελλάδα για ζωντανή εμφάνιση, έχει ξανάρθει και πολύ περισσότερο επειδή ο Ιρλανδικός και ο ελληνικός λαός μοιράζεται μια βαθιά ιστορική συγγένεια πολιτιστικά και πολιτισμικά. Τα δύο έθνη συνάδουν και συνδέονται με μια βαθιά αγάπη για την αφήγηση ιστοριών, ισχυρές οικογενειακές αξίες. Και ο ίδιος φυσικά μας είπε ότι αγαπάει ιδιαίτερα την Ελλάδα, το ελληνικό κοινό, αγαπάει ιδιαίτερα τη δύναμη της ελληνικής κοινότητας, της ελληνικής επαρχίας, το αίσθημα της μυθολογίας. Και δεν είναι η πρώτη φορά που επισκέπτεται την Ελλάδα. Την είχε επισκεφθεί στο μήνα του Μέλιτος με την πρώτη του γυναίκα το 1990. Και βέβαια μας είπε και για την τελευταία του εμπειρία όταν τραγούδησε στο Ερώδιο, ένα από τους πιο μοναδικούς ιστορικούς και εμβληματικούς χώρους, μνημειακούς χώρους στον κόσμο. Και αυτό ήταν το εξαιρετικό, όπως μας είπε, όταν είχε συνεργαστεί με τον Έλληνα μουσικό, εννοούσε τον Πάνο Σκούτερη, που είχε παίξει το Return of Pan. Εγώ τον ρώτησα για το Εδιμβούργο, ότι εκεί μεγάλωσε και βέβαια η πρώτη του σκέψη και η πρώτη του σχέση με τη μουσική ήταν οι Beatles. Εκεί ακούγαμε όπως όλοι τα πρώτα τραγούδια των Beatles και από τα live που πρωτοείδε ήταν το live concert. Το πρώτο ήταν, παρακαλώ, τον Emerson Lake Palmer, αλλά δεν τον επηρέασε ιδιαίτερα. Τον επηρέασε το τρίτο κονσέρτο που ήταν οι Rolling Stones. Το έχουμε πει εξάλλου ότι οι Rolling Stones είναι επίκαιροι πάντα από τότε μέχρι και σήμερα. Και εκεί κάνουμε την πάσα και τον ρωτάω για
για τους Rolling Stones και για το Ηρώδιο, όταν τον είδα να παίζει με μια see-through κιθάρα, μια κιθάρα που είχε παίξει στο My Time on Earth, είχε βάλει και το acoustic και το electric guitar, και κατά πόσο αυτή η κιθάρα σχετιζόταν με την κιθάρα που είχε ο Richards στο tour του το 69, γιατί είναι κάτι πολύ ιδιαίτερο και μας είπε ο ίδιος ότι την είχε φτιάξει ο Dan Armstrong, ένα μοντέλο του 69 το 71. Ο Richards είχε την πρώτη κιθάρα, ο Bill Wyman την είχε φτιάξει την ίδια σε μπάσο και φυσικά ήταν στο tour των Stones το 1969, όπως του είπα πολύ σωστά. Και βέβαια, όταν ο ίδιος είχε πάει σε ένα τοπικό μαγαζί να πάρει μια κιθάρα στην Σκωτία, δεν είχε τα χρήματα γιατί ήταν 12 ετών, αλλά πέρασαν τα χρόνια και αργότερα δεν αγόρασε μία, αλλά αγόρασε δύο κιθάρες, και το πιο πιθανό να την φέρει την ίδια κιθάρα και στο Sunny Festival τον Αύγουστο. Πάμε να τον ακούσουμε, γιατί τον ρωτάμε τι είναι οι Waterboys, τι είναι το The Hall of the Moon και αν περίμενε να κάνει αυτή την επιτυχία, ποια ήταν τα μουσικά του ακούσματα και πώς τον επηρέασε ο κορυφαίος παραγωγός, ο Bob Johnson, ο παραγωγός Johnny Cash, του Dylan, του Leonard Cohen.
Can you give us a definition what Waterboys are about your music? It's not rock, it's not pure rock, it's not folk, sometimes alternative, sometimes traditional, but it's something unique. Do you agree?
I do agree, but I can't say what it is. I can't define it.
Okay.
They're the great undefinable band.
After all these years, 51 years ago in 1985, you record The Hall of the Moon. It was released, it was to become the band's signature song and covered by an army of artists, from Prince and U2 to The Killers and Rod Stewart. Never been to number one in the UK charts, but it's one of the signature songs of your band. Did you expect that it could be loved so much by the audience, even with Fisherman Blues, such an iconic song for the band to this day?
Yes, I thought The Hall of the Moon would be very popular, but I don't think Rod Stewart has sung it. And Prince, U2, The Killers, yes, and Louis Capaldi and various other artists, Fiona Apple, but not Rod Stewart. He did a different one of my songs.
Noah?
No. Oh, I don't think so.
Tell me about what does Mike Scott draw his musical influence? Even from the 60s and the British Invasion, maybe from Dylan or with Tan Van Zandt, because there are so many elements that touch on storytelling in your songs. And it is also a dominant component of folk or country music sometimes.
I love the music that people made from about 1955 to 1978. That's my favorite period of music. Old rock and roll, country rock, blues rock, psychedelic music, the great golden age of pop music in the 60s. Singer-songwriter music and punk rock. That's garage rock. That's all the stuff that I like, man.
And when we are talking about American music and all this, I remember when you recorded in California and you collaborated with Bob Johnson. I'm a country fan music, and I know that he was a legend at his time due to his production with Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan and Cohen sometimes. Did he help you or give you an ideas in order to record your songs? Or tell me, how is to collaborate to your music or to work with a producer like him?
Well, he was very inspirational. And you know, I went and stayed with him at his house in California. Mm-hmm. And he played me a lot of country music. He introduced me to country artists like Rattlesnake Annie, Willie Nelson. I already knew about Willie, but I never really listened to him. And he sat with me on a sofa, and we listened to the whole of Johnny Cash at San Quentin, and he talked me through the entire album and said, well, the reason they're all cheering here is because Johnny just did this. And he kind of initiated me into country music.
Flashes.
The Hall of the Moon. Ένα τραγούδι το οποίο είναι signature song της μπάντας των Waterboys. Ο ίδιος δεν μπορούσε να μας δώσει ακριβώς ένα definition του όρου τι είναι οι Waterboys. Δεν είναι rock, δεν είναι folk, δεν είναι alternative, είναι μερικές φορές παραδοσιακό, αλλά κάτι μοναδικό. Είναι μια μεγάλη μη προσδιοριζόμενη μπάντα, όπως μας είπε. Και φυσικά το Hollow the Moon είναι ένα τραγούδι το οποίο το έχουν ερμηνεύσει ο Prince, U2, οι Killers. Εγώ ξέρω ότι κάπου το είχε τραγουδήσει και ο Rod Stewart, ο ίδιος μας είπε ότι ο Rod Stewart έχει τραγουδήσει κάποια άλλα κομμάτια του και όχι αυτό. Ο Louis Capaldi, η Fiona Apple. Και βέβαια οι επιρροές του Mike Scott είναι από το British Invasion, από τον Dylan, από τον Dan Van Zandt, από τους Beatles, από το rock and roll, από την country rock, την blues, την ψυχεδέλεια, την garage και τη σχέση του με τον Bob Johnson. Όταν βρέθηκε στην Αμερική, όταν βρέθηκε στην Καλιφόρνια, ο άνθρωπος που ήταν με δίπλα παραγωγός με τον Johnny Cash, τον Bob Dylan και τον Cohen, ακούγαμε σε μια σοφίτα στο σπίτι του Willie Nelson, Rat Lake Alley και Johnny Cash, Σαν Κουέντιν, και εκεί μου εξήγησε για ποιο λόγο φωνάζαν όλοι και ο Johnny Cash τι έκανε και γιατί πρωτοτύπησε στην country μουσική. The Hall of the Moon. Ο Mike Scott των Waterboys. Πάμε τον ακούσουμε, φίλες και φίλοι, να μας μιλάει τι είναι σήμερα οι Waterboys και πώς προέκυψε η ιδέα της ηχογράφησης του τελευταίου τους άλμπουμ με τίτλο The Dennis Hopper Show. The Dennis Hopper, The Life and Death of Dennis Hopper.
And today, after all these years, you record and produce a new biographical tribute to late Dennis Hopper, the legendary actor who was a countercultural figure both on screen and off. And I was wondering how you get an artist in several tracks like Bruce Springsteen, Fiona Apple, Steve Earle, of course. How do you decide to get an album with the life of Dennis Hopper? I was wondering.
Well, I was fascinated by Dennis Hopper. I knew him as an actor, and I knew he was a countercultural figure. But one day, about 10 years ago, I saw an exhibition of his photographs, and I loved his photography. It was all shot in the 1960s, and that's what got me interested in Dennis Hopper's life, his personal life. And I read all the books about him and researched him and just kept getting more and more interested in him. And I liked that he didn't follow any rules. He broke all the rules and did things his own way. And I found myself writing songs about him, and one thing led to another, and it ended up being a whole album.
What about the guest artists, for example, Bruce and Fiona Apple and Steve Earle? How
I asked them.
Ah, you asked them?
I invited them to contribute. I didn't want to sing everything myself. And the Fiona Apple song, for example, Letter from an Unknown Girlfriend, I needed a female voice to sing that. And she'd done a very wonderful and emotional cover version of The Hole of the Moon. So I thought she would be good. So I asked her and she did it.
If you look back at the Waterboys in the 1170s, and now in 2026, how would you describe the whole journey? What do you think has changed in the structure of the band, apart from the part that we are all growing up? And I don't tell about the terms of the age, I mean. But what do you think has changed in the structure of the band? Even in the structure of the music?
Well, not much. It's still me and a group of very brilliant musicians. Making music that a lot of the time we improvise.
Someday I'm gonna blow Kansas. Someday I'm gonna blow. Don't say I didn't tell you so, Kansas. Don't say I didn't tell you so. Well, I remember you, Kansas. Hell, I don't even know. Well, the mountains reach up high, Kansas, that's where I want to fly. Where the buildings scrape the sky, Kansas, oh, oh, me, oh, my. You can rely on me, Kansas to kiss your ass goodbye. Your dust and weeds and clouds, Kansas, are choking and killing me. Among the big city crowds, Kansas, that's where I'm gonna be. What I gotta find is level, poor boy, gotta be free.
Αυτός είναι ο Steve Earle και το Kansas, οι Water Boys. Ηχογραφούν και ο Mike Scott φτιάχνει ένα άλμπουμ για τον Dennis Hopper. Αυτό τον θρηλυκά σταθή ηθοποιό που ήταν μια αντικουλτούρα τόσο στην οθόνη όσο και εκτός. Μαζί με τον Bruce Springsteen, τη Fiona Apple και τον Steve Earle που τους κάλεσε στο άλμπουμ. Κοιτώντας μια έκθεση 10 χρόνια πριν από τις φωτογραφίες του που του άρεσαν και ο ίδιος έψηξε ιδιαίτερα τη ζωή του. Γι' αυτό και λόγο, γι' αυτό ήταν και ο λόγος που ηχογράφησε αυτό το άλμπουμ Life, Death and Dennis Hopper album. Και ήθελε να καλέσει όλους αυτούς τους φίλους και ανθρώπους μέσα στο άλμπουμ, όπως ακριβώς και η Fiona Apple με το Letter from the Unknown Girlfriend. Χρειαζόταν, είπε, μια γυναικεία γλώσσα, μια γυναικεία φωνή και τι το καλύτερο όταν ίδια είχε κάνει μια υπέροχη διασκευή To the Hall of the Moon. Πάμε να τον ακούσουμε, φίλες και φίλοι, να μας μιλάει για το Big Music και την κελτική παράδοση και για την ελληνική μυθολογία.
Folk myths and legend, the water boys, along the Big Music, were also led into more folk paths, inspired from the Celtic tradition and the Greek mythology. And I remember the Pan Within and the Return of Pan. Tell us about the songs and tell us about your relation with Greek mythology.
Well, I, like most kids my age, I loved all those old stories about gods and Greek mythology. And I have a sense that the very ancient people perceived the world in a very different way from the way we do. They had a thing called participation, which means that they didn't experience themselves as separate from their environment. They participated as a conscious functioning part of their environment. And part of participation is that they experienced powers and values in a way that was very alive to them. And I believe that that's where the concept of gods came from, in the attempts of the ancient people to name these powers. And they've come down to us as stories because we have a very different consciousness now. But they're real. They're real powers. And Pan is the power of nature and the natural world, symbolized by his goat's legs. And yet Pan is also a human authority because the upper body is human. So Pan is the junction of the natural world and the human world, and is a very powerful figure and entity. And I've spent a lot of my life being a follower of Pan.
Ο Mike Scott, λοιπόν, μας μιλάει για τις δοξασίες, για τους Water Boys, για την μυθολογία, ότι όπως όλα τα παιδιά της και σε μένα μου άρεσαν αυτές οι παλιές ιστορίες για τους θεούς, για την ελληνική μυθολογία. Και βέβαια, ο Παν λέει ότι νομίζω ότι οι αρχαίοι άνθρωποι προσέγγιζαν τον κόσμο σε μια πολύ διαφορετική μορφή από τη μορφή που την προσδιορίζουμε μαζί. Είχαν κάτι που ονομάζεται συμμετοχικότητα, που σημαίνει ότι δεν ήταν ξεχωριστά σώματα από το περιβάλλον. Συμμετείχαν ως μέρος που λειτουργούσε σωστά και ήταν σε συνάρτηση με το περιβάλλον. Και μέρος συμμετοχικότητας είναι ότι συνειδητοποίησαν ότι υπάρχουν δυνατότητες και αξίες σε μια μορφή που ήταν πολύ ζωντανή για αυτούς. Και πάνω σε αυτήν την φιλοσοφία προέρχονται οι θεοί στις προσπάθειες των αρχαίων ανθρώπων για να μπουν και να μας πούν από πού προέρχονται αυτές οι δυνάμεις. Οπότε ο Παν μας λέει με λίγα λόγια: είναι η δύναμη της φύσης και του φυσικού κόσμου. Ο Παν είναι μια ανθρώπινη εξουσία, γιατί το άνω μέρος του σώματος είναι ανθρώπινο. Οπότε ο Παν είναι μια πολύ δυνατή φιγούρα. Και έχει πει πολλές φορές και ο ίδιος ότι είναι ακόλουθος του Παν. Πάμε να τον ακούσουμε για να κλείσουμε αυτή τη συνέντευξη για το live εμφανίσεις, για το Fisherman Blues Review, πόσο πολύ το συμπλέκει με τον Dylan και το Rolling Thunder Review του 75 και το τι πρόκειται να ακούσουμε στην Αθήνα, τι πρόκειται μάλλον να ακούσουμε στην Ελλάδα και στο Sunny Festival στη Χαλκιδική.
Tell me about the Fisherman Blues. I know that now you have live appearances and tours and the Fisherman Blues Review. Can you tell us about this, about the Steve Wickman and the Steve Earle collaboration with the Fisherman Blues Review?
Yes, this is a tour that we're doing this summer. It's based on Bob Dylan's old Rolling Thunder Review, which was a wonderful tour that Dylan did in 1975 and 1976, where he toured with a kind of circus group of very bohemian and freely minded musicians. And Fisherman's Blues, the album, was recorded very much in the same spirit. And the central instrument on the Rolling Thunder Review, the central instruments were fiddle and mandolin and guitar. And that was also the same on the Fisherman's Blues album and that period of the Waterboys. So Steve Wickham and I, for many years, wanted to do a kind of Fisherman's Blues Rolling Thunder Review. And one of the people we always thought we should include was Steve Earle. And so recently, a UK music promoter made a proposal to us that we would do a Fisherman's Blues concert in London, and he would pay us very well for it. So I thought, maybe this is the time we should do that Rolling Thunder Review type idea. So I spoke to Steve Wickham, and he said, yes, I'll do it. And we spoke to Steve Earle, and he said, well, I'll do it. And that's what's happening. It's 9 shows. It'll be a 3-hour show at every concert with an intermission. And Steve Earle will sing some of his own songs, and he'll also play on some of ours. It'll build up to a grand old climax. It'll be very wonderful.
Yeah.
And if it goes well, we might do it again.
Is there any thought, or are you planning to record this live and release it on an album or a CD? It sounds very interesting.
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe we will.
Yes, because it's something more than historical if you play all these music from the Fisherman Blues and some songs of yours and some songs of Steve's. I think that it will be very important to everyone and the all of the audience to listen up again. Can you tell us a little bit about the live show in Greece, in Chalkidiki, where you will present the latest album of yours, as a matter of fact, and all the other songs?
We will play a few songs from the Dennis Hopper album, but we'll play a lot of Waterboy's favourite songs. And it's a 5-piece band with 2 keyboard players. It's a really great band, probably the best ever Waterboys. And we've got Brother Paul and Famous James on organ and piano. And then we've got Angus on bass and Eamon on drums. They're a real good band.
Will you have any schedules even to record a new album in the future, or you have unfinished songs or unfinished projects to do something in the future?
Yes, well, we will record a new album probably early next year.
We were looking forward, and we were looking forward to see you again in Athens Chalkidiki in a month.
Thank you, Petros. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time, Mike. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.